abundantlifestewart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McClain.
1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I knew all the mysteries of the future, knew everything about everything, I've met some people like that. They thought they did anyway. But if that were possible and didn't love others, what good would I be? And if I had the gift of faith so I could speak to a mountain and make it move without love, I would be no good to anybody. If I gave everything I have to the poor, even sacrificed my own body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it's been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful. Love is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever. Prophecy, speaking in unknown languages, and special knowledge will disappear. Now we know only a little. Even the gift of prophecy reveals just a little. But when the end comes, these special gifts will all disappear. It's like this: when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, as in a poor mirror. But then, day's coming, we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me now. This will give you a little revelation of what the future is going to be like for us. But then verse 13 lays it out. There are three things that will endure. What are they? Faith, hope, and love. These three, the greatest of these is love. I'm not speaking on love this morning. I didn't speak on love last week either. Last week we spoke on faith. Today we're going to speak about hope. Hope. And hope is so important in our lives. It is so important. I, over the last several weeks, have had several occasions where the Lord has been talking to me about the importance of never giving up, going back and redigging where the wells used to be. Where you look back looking at Abraham and Isaac and how Abraham was a great well driller. He dug them. They served him well in his generation, but the next generation found that they had enemies that did not want any of the progress that God had given to Dad to be passed on to the children. But the enemy was tangling with a well digger. Isaac said, we're going to dig again. We're going to open up what God has done in the past. We're not going to ignore or forget the faithfulness of God in yesterday. We're going to reopen those wells. And they did. And isn't it just like the enemy? The enemy said, yippee, we're going to take and use what has been opened back up. That didn't stop Isaac. He kept digging, kept digging, kept digging. And God began to give success to him, and they found water, and his herds were taken care of, and they had what they needed, and they were blessed. Abraham was a wealthy man. They received Abraham's wealth, but God continued to increase wealth to them. We've talked about the importance of digging again and not losing the faith and the blessing that God has given in maybe previous generations or in early days of our walk with God. We also spent some time looking at the importance of trusting God and continuing in prayer, being steadfast in prayer. And we looked at Elijah on the mountain where, as he prayed, it really looked to the servant as if nothing was happening. And Elijah just kept sending him back to look for God. Don't stop looking for God to show up. Until the cloud showed up, that's all that Elijah needed. He knew that it was time. It was time. Well, we pressed on a little bit from there, and we looked at faith and looked at the importance of faith. And today I'm going to pull you into a passage that is in 2 Kings, and I want you to go there with me, 2 Kings chapter 6, and look at this passage. And when I direct your attention to look at hope today, you may have some great definitions of what hope is in your own life. And maybe you've thought about this before, that God has given you hope, and it is a steadfast hope. It actually stands in the midst of every challenge that you've been in. And there's been that element that's tied in with your faith, because faith is the evidence of things what? It's the evidence of things hoped for. It's what? Things not seen. I want to tell you how I defined hope. I just said hope is faith's 2020 vision of God's faithfulness, whether I'm looking back or I'm looking around or I'm looking forward. I believe hope is something that God gives you spiritual vision to see beyond maybe what you have ever experienced in the entirety of your life. And so when I look at this topic, and I was doing some poking around, I ended up in one of the Our Daily Bread. Any of you ever heard of those? They're passed around. Maybe one of you caught this one that had to do with hope. I thought it was pretty great. And it raised some questions about how many people think of hope as being something that's like a wish. It's a possibility. It would be nice if it happened. And so maybe they have things they say like, you know, I'm really hoping that the economy will improve. And I've heard a lot of politicians talking recently. You probably have as well. And some pressure on Powell. And I think we need to pray for Powell to get his act together or get out in Jesus' name. And so maybe I'm being political here this morning about the Fed chairman, but I believe God has given us some leadership that needs to have some support to move ahead. But I know for us as a church, we were looking at refinance, and rates have been high. And I know the contacts we have had have actually said we're not excited about making any loans because we don't know what some of these people will do. I want you to recognize this morning that we know what our God can do and will do. We're not just wishing that we get better or hoping that the doctor knows what he's doing or the medicine. We're not hoping that the medicine is going to take care of us. We know that we are in God's hand and we can trust in Him completely and totally, and we do, and we have hope in the Lord. Proverbs 13:12 talks about hope, and I thought I'd learned this back like 30 years ago, but I'm getting to learn it again. But Proverbs 13:12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart, what? Talk to me, I want to hear you. Sick, S-I-C-K, hope deferred. Forever expecting and never attaining, the heart wants to say, I need it now. I'll tell you, I pray like that sometimes. You're probably more spiritual than me and say, God, your time's perfect, and you know I'm okay with that. But sometimes I go, God, you know, my time, I'm not as young as I used to be. I would like to see some things now in Jesus' name. And so I do believe that there is a work of the Holy Spirit that sustains us, so that our spiritual heart never is given into sickness. You and me, we may have arrows that are thrown at us. The enemy will throw darts at us. But I don't believe the enemy has authority or power to trespass into the spiritual realm of the peace of God that passeth understanding inside of our lives. The storm may be around us. We may be in it. It may be impacting us physically, but it has no authority to enter into the dwelling place where God lives inside of our lives. And God is faithful. God is faithful. I know this. several weeks ago, actually months ago now, when I said, God, what can we do? And God said, you've got to dig again. Talking about the church, you got to keep digging. Well, God, okay, what does that mean? Well, go back to everything I've used in the past. Call people that you know. Begin to raise your faith level beyond your experiential knowledge and begin to test where God is budging the doors. Maybe there's just a little creak, a little squeak, but the Holy Spirit was saying, don't be discouraged. I say to you this morning, don't be discouraged. Let the Lord strengthen your hope in the Lord and understand that God is not only able, but God is willing and God is actively involved in this very time today. So I am not going to spend much time on hope deferred. I've had a couple moments there, but I don't live there. That's not my address. So don't look for me to dwell there. I won't have much interest in exploring that. So to those who look at hope as only being wishes and dreams, had a great dream, Pastor. I had great vision when I was a kid. I had great ambitions at that time. I want to call you to rise above everything in your life that has hindered you from having activated faith and hope in God right now, and to trust God with everything that is in you. Did you find 2 Kings? 2 Kings chapter 6, and this is one of those passages that is one of many. There's several we could go to, but drop down with me to verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place. But I want you to take note, somebody's listening in to what the enemy's up to. The enemy is not going to catch you off guard. I want you to take note of this passage this morning, that God is consciously aware of every attempt and strategy of the enemy against his people, and that is true for you this morning. Immediately, the king's talking with his military leaders, but immediately, Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, do not go to that place, where the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there. So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God, warning the people there to be on their guard. This happened several times. This tells me that long before the enemy ever can send an arrow out, God has already prepared us and strengthened us and given us access to Holy Spirit revelation and knowledge and understanding so that we are not caught off guard by the enemy's devices. Are you with me? Won't you just look at a First Covenant passage and understand how much God loves us and He's at work in regards to our life? This didn't just happen one time. This happened several times. And the king of Aram became very upset over this. He called in his officers and demanded, which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans? And they said, it's not us, my lord. One of the officers replied, Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Now, I want to appoint and anoint all of you as Elishas this morning in Jesus' name, that you will have spiritual ears to hear exactly what God wants to expose so you are well prepared as a matriarch or patriarch over your family to lead in days of great attack of the enemy. I have seen God do this time and time and time again where God led and prepared in advance. This is an awesome passage. So the word is out. How he knew it, I'm not sure. There must have been some insiders that had crossed the line that are saying, uh-oh, we have another message coming from Elisha. The king commanded, go and find out where Elisha is, and we will send troops to seize him. The report came back, Elisha is at Dothan. So one night the king of Aram sent a great army. Say great army. with many chariots. Say many chariots. I want you to get it. And horses for the horse lovers in the house to surround the city. And when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, chariots, and chariots. Where? Say everywhere. They were everywhere. So this is the assistant prophet, the assisting gentleman that's there to work with the prophet. But what he sees is in the natural. And family, we must have eyes to see into the spirit if we're going to discern the plans and purposes of God in these days that we're living in. You've heard me say it. I'm going to say it again. I'll keep saying it. And I believe God may just let me live to see this. But years ago, God dealt with me a very strong word that in the last days, the miraculous would be the currency of the church. That the church would not be looking to the government, would not be looking to our own savings. We would not be looking to our doctors. We would not be looking to man. But the miraculous power of God activated in our individual life would be released in a consistent and a powerful way so that the God that we serve would be visible to those who do not yet know Him. I do not believe Satan owns the stage. I believe God is sovereign in the heavens and sovereign on the earth. I do not believe that Satan is going to get to thumb his nose at the Lord and say, there's more on my team than on your team. I really like what Reinhard Bonnke said when he put the book out, Plundering Hell to Populate Heaven, that God is not a loser and God is at work on behalf of His people. And I fully anticipate that day where our faith is elevated to a level to where we do not let the enemy get by with anything around us, but we take authority and walk in that authority, exercise that authority in the name of Jesus. Y'all still with me? Here we are, the assistant. Oh, my Lord, what will we do now? He cried out to Elisha. And that is going to be the only response unless the power of the Holy Spirit is activated in our life and in the body of Christ. Because we're going to face things that there is not an answer in the flesh. We will not have the means to respond, whether it's financial, whether it has to do with our relationships, whether it has to do with our families. We need the power of God activated, and we have access. Oh, my Lord, what will we do? What will we do? He cried out to Elisha. I've been in some prayer meetings like that. It was as if God was either on vacation. It would almost sounded like a Baal prayer meeting. Crying out to God. Now, I understand we can cry. We can be broken. We can be burdened in the spirit. But what I'm saying is when we come to our God, please do not think that God does not want to hear you and you somehow have to scream louder to get His attention. Oh my, I went down to Palm Beach Gardens. Little frail lady was down there. I'd got the call. She's on a machine. The machine is doing nothing. She's dead, really. But the family's not all here, so just pumping air into her. I'm driving to North Palm Beach, and while I'm driving, the father said, why are you going down here? And I had to think not very long. I said, because that's what pastors do. Somebody's in the hospital. She's dying. Family's going to be there. I want to be there, Father. He said, but why are you going? What are you going to say? And when God asked me a question like that, I already learned. I just say, I don't know. Why am I going and what am I going to say? And so God says, you're going to tell him that she's not going to die. She's not going to die. I said, Father, they told me she's already dead. She's just on a machine, all curled up, fetal position, lost weight. She was never a large lady, but she may have weighed 60 pounds, maybe wasted away to nothing. And the father said, you're going to tell the family that she's not going to die. I arrived. They were in a private room. The room was full of family members. And as I stepped into the room and I looked at them, many of them I'd never seen before, and the Holy Spirit is saying to me, tell them. I think God's going to want some of us to start speaking up a little more than we've been speaking up. Some people don't have the activated faith yet. They just need maybe your faith and the hope that you have maybe the experience of your life to just share that. And so God may be saying to someone, maybe to all of us here today, that we need to lose our fear of God not being able to handle his end of the bargain. But I'll tell you, I was kind of quaking. I'd already said, Lord, I don't know about this family. And when I looked around the room, I'm like, okay. And then I realized I'm with a lot of unbelievers. There were a couple believers in the room, but most of them, they were not born-again believers. They're family members. And so I did what God said. I told them. I said, she's not going to die. God's going to raise her up. Oh, my. Oh, thank you, Pastor, for coming. It's so nice that you came down. No, your mom's not going to die. God's going to raise her up. Well, thank you very much. We're waiting on one more family member. You know, tonight they pull the plug, you know. This is it. The plane's arriving anytime. And at that point, I felt motivated to go find the lady to pray for her. Wasn't having much success with them. So they said, well, yeah, you can go on in there, but, you know, don't be shocked. You know, she's all in a little spot. Nobody's around her because there's nothing anybody could do for days. And so I went in to see this little lady, and she's all curled up, and machines are just going, psh, psh. You've been maybe in a hospital room like that. I went over, I have my oil, I lay hands on, I'm expecting Jesus' resurrection moment, and I pray over this lady. I'm expecting bells to go off, whistles to happen, people to come running. I'm telling you, seriously, I expected all that. And you know what happened? Nothing. Nothing. So I prayed a little louder, just to tell you, I've done it too. I thought maybe I didn't say the right thing, you know. What is the formula? Listen, it's not a formula. It's you and me believing God, regardless of what we see with our eyes. And it's so easy to be distracted. And I believe someone, probably not in this room because you all are advanced, but maybe in our listening audience, maybe on radio, maybe someone that's going to be viewing live stream or even later, needs to know today that what you see with your eyes cannot be trusted when it comes in opposition to the working and the will and the purposes of God. You need to remember, I need to remember that all things are possible with God. So I prayed a little longer and nothing happened. And I walked out of that room and I really didn't want to go in and face the family again. But they were down the hall and they were close to where I had to go out. And I went back in with the family. And what do you think the Holy Spirit says? Tell them again. Tell them again. So I went back in the room. Now my hands are sweaty and I'm kind of tingling all over. And the Holy Spirit says, tell them again. I said, you know, your mom is not going to die. God's going to raise her up. God told me to tell you that God is going to raise your mom up. And I left that night. Didn't hear anything through the night. Come daylight the next morning, I put a call into the hospital. And the family answered the phone and said, you're not going to believe what happened. I said, well, what happened? Well, sometime during the night, I left about 11 o'clock that night, between 11 and 12. But sometime during the night, something happened to Laura Hamilton. And her family might be listening this morning. I want to remind you that what happened that night was God, had nothing to do with me. I was just a mouth. Maybe you're just a mouth. Don't worry about how great your faith is. Remember how great your God is. This is hope in the Lord, but it's not hoping and wishing God will do something. It's knowing that God is going to do something. And so they said, yes, sometime during the night, mom had a major turnaround. Well, what does that mean? Well, she's sitting up right now eating her breakfast. Laura Hamilton came out of Palm Beach Gardens Hospital, came back, and I don't know how many years she was in our church before she went to be with the Lord. And I loved it on Sunday mornings to look out and see Laura Hamilton. And the Lord would remind me, Jonathan, I want you to remember what I have done that you've seen with your eyes so you never question what I'm up to. The thief has come, what? Help me out. The thief has come to still kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life. Look at this. Look at this. The servant, the assistant sees the horses, the chariots, the troops. And he says, what will we do now? What will we do now? we're going to do now what we've done before. We're going to trust God. Yeah, I'm talking about my son, Andrew Michael. I'm talking about Jody. I'm talking about our kids that need to come to Jesus. I'm talking about the resources for the property. I'm talking about our state. I'm talking about our president. What are we going to do now? We're going to call those things that are not as though they already are. And we're going to trust the God that does what we cannot do. And we're going to commit ourselves fully into His hands. We are trusting God. So Elisha says, let's get rid of the spirit of fear. It always comes to kill your hope. It hinders your eyesight. It blocks your ability to discern what God's up to, that spirit of fear. So let's deal with that. Don't be afraid. For there are more. Not there could be. There are more with us than be with them. We need to say that as a family. There's more with us than be with them. God's team is the winning team. We are on the winning team. There's more with us than be with them. And the servant is looking at them, and he's not seeing any of the more because he has a them mentality. He has a natural mentality. He had eyes like I have. He was discerning everything in the natural, but his spiritual eyes were not focusing. And so Elisha prays, "Oh Lord, open his eyes, let him see." Elisha is praying, "Open his eyes, let him see." Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that you would do that for every one of us, wherever we are and whatever we're facing, whatever's going on in our life, that you would open our spiritual eyes a little wider. Father, if we have that spiritual condition where our eyelids have sagged down to where our vision is greatly hampered and hindered in the spirit, I ask you that you would surgically, spiritually remove anything that's standing in the way and open our spiritual eyes so we can see you at work. Oh Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Let him see.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life, and have it more abundantly."
What are the key elements to being a Christian?
Well, you may not be dead physically, but according to the Word of God, until Jesus Christ comes into your life, you are dead spiritually.
Dr. David Jeremiah gives us insight into basics of the Christian faith. Next time on Turning Point.
Listen to Turning Point at 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Good News Station, WCNO.
Hi, I'm Pastor Lawrence McKenzie, and I invite you to listen to Spirit and Truth every Saturday at 12:30 right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Listen, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed. God will meet you just where you are. God bless you.